Thank you, Patty, and welcome everyone, and thank you for joining me today from whatever beautiful part of the world you might be in. First, a couple notes. You might want to have paper and pen at hand to jot things down, and also I'll be introducing a couple exercises just in order to give you examples of my talking points. You won't have time to do them completely right now, but you'll be able to access this recording in a few days if you want to do them then. And well, they are also in my book, 151 Gentle Nudges to Help Revive Your Life Dreams. So let's get started. Two specific chapters in the book, when combined together, give you the information and the tools that you need to start living your dreams today. Chapter 3 is called Know, What Do You Really Want? And Chapter 6 is called Dreams Aren't for the Future. And I'm going to expand on how those two are connected. Living the life of your dreams right now is something that anyone can do. It requires a little work, of course, but mostly what it requires is a little reframing of how we traditionally think about our life dreams. We think of dreams as being these new and better things, and that word things is in quotes, of what we want in our future. They're wishes, passions, visions of what could be, of what we believe is this perfect destiny. And they're almost like an eternal hope for something that doesn't yet exist. The dreams that we have, quite often from childhood, tug at our heartstrings because they want to be lived. Now, I'm describing dreams this way, intentionally, to lead up to the fact that most people would agree with the philosophy that dreams are for the future. In other words, we expect the dream to come true someday, right? It's this thing out there that you want to have happen and that you can work toward making come true. But the philosophy that I'm proposing is this. Dreams are for the present because dreams aren't really an end goal. They're a long-term process. And you can actually start living some part of that today, just like with any other project. Gentle Nudge number 95 in my book phrases the concept this way. The key to living the life of your dreams is to not get caught up in some nebulous future version of who you would like to be or what you would like to have happen. Rather, the key is to live the dream now. Live it in its largest incarnation that you are able to handle today. So there are two key steps, two components to being able to live the life of your dreams now. The first one is you need to truly identify and understand your underlying motives for the dreams. And second, you need to identify and acknowledge the existing activities that take place in your life right now that actually satisfy the needs expressed by those motives. Let me explain those two components in detail. The first step is to find the underlying motive behind your dream or dreams. Different experts in this field use different terms for the concept. For example, Barbara Sher uses the term touchstone. I like the word underlying motive. I also use the terms core desires, and I use secret longings, meaning that it's actually usually secret from us ourselves, and they still need to be uncovered. The underlying motive is that part of the dream that is not the tangible part. Instead, it's the essence of why we want the dream to come true. It's about what it gives to us, what it satisfies for us in the way of our inner craving. And that information is critical to knowing what it is that you really want. The tangible part of the dream might be, for example, the job that you could perceive could be yours, or it could be retirement on the tropical island, or it could be life with the perfect family. But the essence, the true motives for the dreams, could be to have the prestige and recognition of that job that you want, or to have the meditative relaxation and peace of that beautiful island, or to be loved by that supportive family. Those are the potential core elements of your life's dreams. And that information is what you need to uncover. It's more about knowing yourself than it is about what you think the dream's trophy is. Here's an exercise from my book that will help you get started uncovering your secret longings. This is Gentle Nudge number 53. We all had favorite things when we were children. What was your favorite toy or possession? Was it a stuffed animal or a doll or a baking set, maybe a truck or an action figure, a bike or a baseball mitt? Think of one specific object, not a learning experience, and also not a generic activity. If possible, choose an item that you kept through your entire childhood and maybe even into adulthood, something that is very important to you. Further, you should have felt very comfortable with it. It would also be helpful if when you were with that item or using it, that you felt in control of your life. Perhaps it made you feel important or loved or strong or safe.
Yeah.
Feel free to write down your answer to the question, what was your favorite toy or possession? All right, that's the start of the exercise. But before I continue, I'm going to give you some examples so that you can understand what the point is. Jane loved to ice skate. Her skates were her most valuable possessions as a child. She still has her first set. So does Steve. So does Rachel. However, they each have different triggering motives, those underlying core desires that explain why the skates are so important to them. For Steve, a friend of mine, it's about getting out in nature. He started skating on the pond behind his childhood home, and he still skates on ponds, on lakes. He also fishes and hikes and kayaks. He's drawn to the quiet, the privacy, and the beauty of the wilderness, and his underlying motive is to nurture that bond. Gives him a sense of peace, of connection that's on both a visceral but also a spiritual level. Jane's trigger is different. She likes her confidence on the ice. She finds the speed exhilarating. It makes her feel like she can fly, right? Lifts her mood, brightens her day. She skates at a rink during her lunch break from work, using the exercise to maintain both her physical and mental health. Her underlying need is for the joy that she experiences in feeling free and strong. Another element is her feeling of self-integration, of connecting her life and her body and her abilities in a holistic manner. She feels complete. Now, the third person, Rachel, is now a professional figure skater. For her, it's about the competition, right? About her control over her body, mastering her skills. And it's also about the show and the excitement of the arena. For Rachel, an underlying motive is sustaining popularity and feeling important. She wants to attain the respect of others while pursuing her dream career. So those are the examples. Can you see how each of these three people have different core desires associated with their special possession, their ice skates? And looking further, by the way, these motives can be found underlying their life's dreams as well. They're the theme of what they each truly want. I'm going to take you back to the exercise in the book, which asks, what about you? What is the deepest connection that you have with your prominent possession from your childhood? And later today, after the telesummit, you can spend some time identifying the underlying motives or emotional triggers of that connection. Once you've found them and acknowledge them, do this. Ensure that those emotional needs are being met today in your current life. Figure out some way to do that, even if all you can do is set a teddy bear next to your bed.
Yep.
And that ends Gentle Nudge number 53, which leads us to the second component for being able to live your life's dreams now. This is where you get the aspects of your dreams, those underlying motives that you've uncovered, into your life today, into your everyday reality. You do that by finding current activities in your daily life that already exemplify those underlying motives. And you would be surprised at how many there already are. And then, in addition to acknowledging your current activities, you start adding more. The more events, behaviors, experiences
that you can create
in your day right now that fulfill your core desires, the closer you get to what you perceive as your life stream. In other words, rather than that imagined end goal, you actually create a living dream that's taking place right now. Mm-hmm. In the words of Gentle Nudge number 133, your dream becomes the process of making itself come true. I'd like to share a story about a friend of mine named Daniel. We were having a conversation one day while he's at work. He's a sushi chef at a Japanese restaurant. And while I was eating, he was telling me, you know, updating on me about his current life and his plans going forward. He told me that he wants to be a forensic pathologist, which I had not known. And that day was really special. He was really excited and really proud because he had just completed his Bachelor of Science degree. So he told me that his next steps were to take a few graduate courses while building up his finances in order to be able to attend medical school. All right, now, I admit that as I was talking about his plans, I had many thoughts running through my head, including a seemingly macabre one, which is that working as a sushi chef with a knife all day long was helping Daniel to hone his skills, you know, the ones he'd later use as a forensic pathologist. Anyway, aside from my slightly twisted humor, the truth of that thought is this. I could see his speed and his precision while he was making sushi, as well as his care of every single detail of his work. I could also see his pride in his accomplishments and also his professionalism. And that thinking and those habits and skills are part of his motivational patterns for his life stream as well. My other thought was wondering what direct activities he might have in his daily life that were today that were typical for becoming or being a forensic pathologist. In other words, hands-on experiences. Getting the money together for medical school could possibly delay his educational process for so long that I really was concerned, I'd be concerned about anybody in this situation, being able to maintain the dream of some future end goal. So I asked him if he was interning, and he wasn't. Daniel hadn't even thought of trying to do that. And so after our talk, unknown to me, he went to the county morgue, and he asked them if he could intern. And he lives in a rather small rural county, but he has great poise and wonderful employability skills, and they immediately gave him a position one day a week. Yeah, it's unpaid, but it's still, he is working in the morgue one day a week. It's now more than a year later, and I just talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's still doing that internship, and he's enjoying it so much. And he's learning an incredible amount that's going to leave him very well prepared for medical school. More importantly, I know that Daniel is going to be a great forensic pathologist someday because he's living many essential components of his dream right now. And that keeps his intentions alive and nurtured. This is a good place to introduce you to yet another exercise in my book. There isn't going to be time for you to do the actual exercise right now, but you might want to take a few notes and revisit this later. Here's Gentle Nudge 102. Choose someone who could be your mentor, someone who's living the life that you dream of, and imagine that person in your mind's eye. Be sure to pick somebody who appears to have already accomplished what it is that you want to do. And it's really helpful if they also appear to have the same motives or the same needs that you do. So if you've thought of someone, go ahead and write down their name. Now, imagine that you can see them going through the events of their normal routine. Look only at what they do with their day. That's important. You have to mentally set aside your perceptions of how they think, or your perceptions of their personality traits, or your perceptions of what assets or benefits they have, et cetera, et cetera. Identify only what they actually do on a daily basis. Create in your mind's eye a realistic understanding of the activities of their daily life. Here's an example. If your imaginary mentor were a music teacher, she would arrive at work at 8 a.m., attend a short faculty meeting, check the positioning of chairs or other equipment, lay out sheet music, and so on. Okay? Now, later today, after the telesummit, make your list of activities and then set a timer to go off every single hour that you're awake, from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night. And you should try to do this exercise for at least a week. And each time the alarm goes off, ask yourself this question. What activity have I done during the last hour that is similar to what my imaginary mentor does? And write it down, even if it's a stretch, even if you have to be a little creative about it. And then ask yourself this second question. Could this be proof that I am already living my dream? And record those answers as well. Within a week, you should have a list of activities that you engage in that personify some of the aspects of your life's dreams. And more importantly, they should also be representative of your underlying motives. In fact, your activities should, to some degree, already be meeting those emotional needs. Look through your list and make a special note of those that seem to be the most satisfying, the most positive and enjoyable, because the chances are that that is where your heart lies.
Wow, thank you, Kathy.
Now, that particular exercise is a great activity that exemplifies the connection between the two key components necessary to living your dreams today. You clarify the underlying motives, and you connect them to the parts of your current life that speak to those needs. When you do a process like this, you start reframing your dreams. And that is the critical goal here. You reframe your dreams in two ways. First, you start reassessing what your real dream is. You change your picture of what you think you might want to an accurate picture of what you truly, deeply in your heart want. And second, you start modifying your attitude toward your life today. You change your perceptions about what you have, and you become fully aware of how your current activities really are true manifestations of your dreams. Remember, your underlying motives have been with you your entire life, and you have already been introducing small experiences which satisfy those needs into your day. When you recognize and honor these things, you can stop thinking of your dreams as this big thing out there that's going to happen someday. You start engaging in life enthusiastic and confident about everything that you're capable of doing today. I hope you can see that these gentle nudges are designed to make you think, to give you reason to consider alternatives, and ultimately to prompt you into action. So here is one more gentle nudge, number 111. And it reads like this. It's a myth that dreams happen in the future. They really would prefer to exist right now, today. Why would you not let them live? I would like to mention that one of the Telesummit bonuses is Gentle Nudge number 56, which is another exercise from my book, 151 Gentle Nudges to Help Revive Your Life Dreams. It includes a worksheet to help you identify those experiences in your current life that are examples of your underlying motives and proof that you can start living your dreams today. So thank you, everyone, and enjoy your journey. Bye now.